Good morning. I have been absent from doing a podcast for over a year, and I've been very busy with the Kennedy campaign volunteering, and I want to read out loud his book called Wuhan. It's not called Wuhan, it's called The Wuhan Cover-Up and the Terrifying Bioweapons Arms Race by Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And the reason I want to do this is because I'm not sure that people are really getting the importance of the research that Kennedy has done, not only with what his work has been with the COVID vaccination debacle, I'm going to call it a debacle, but this book was... I believe, I heard him in an interview saying that this book was going to be part of the Fauci book, but he was getting so much information in and having to do so much research that he didn't have time to put it into that book, but also that it turned into a whole book of itself. So this is the sequel, if you will, from the Fauci book. If you haven't read the Fauci book, I would encourage you to do that. So I'm looking at the book today, and I want to do this on Wednesdays, so I'm going to be calling this podcast The Wuhan Cover-Up. And obviously, I'm not getting paid for this, and I do not make any money from this. It's just merely for educational purposes, so people can hear it instead of having to read it themselves, if they choose. But I'm trying to do it, if it's Wednesday, it's Wuhan, basically. Try to put it out on Wednesdays. The beginning of the book has a bunch of different authors and folks that have weighed in on the book itself. Naomi Wolf, best-selling author of The Beauty Myth and The Bodies of Others, said, RFK Jr. has done it again. The Wuhan cover-up is not only an indispensable history of the rise of the global threat of bioweaponry, it is also an oh-so-timely deep dive into how a viral pandemic was unleashed upon the world via the deceit, greed, and foolishness of bad actors at the highest levels of our own government. A stunning sequel to The Real Anthony Fauci and an historic publication that answers the core national security and existential questions of our time. Tucker Carlson says, this will scare the hell out of you. The scariest part is, it's true. Thank God for Bobby Kennedy Jr. There's others that weigh in here. Several, there's like a few pages. Gavin DeBecker, who is now his personal security team since the Biden administration is refusing to give Robert F. Kennedy Secret Service protection, says, RFK Jr.'s painstaking research reveals facts that anyone can confirm, but few can accept. Bioweapons research and production has a dark history many people would want to wish away. Kennedy's compelling book makes that impossible. And you have Peter McCullough, a doctor, author of The Courage to Face COVID-19, say, an extraordinary elucidation of a singularly dark and terrible enterprise. The Wuhan cover-up is a meticulous work of scholarship that reads like a thrilling crime story. Written by a current candidate for president of the United States, the book is destined to be one of the most significant in history. So, there's other quotes in here, but I'll leave it with that. The Wuhan Cover-Up and the Terrifying Bioweapons Arms Race by Robert F. Kennedy Jr. begins with a dedication. I dedicate this book to all the warrior moms who inspire me each and every day, and to the millions of people who are harmed or lost their lives during the COVID crisis. He acknowledges the Children's Health Defense Team, readers and researchers and editors, who sourced and cited and verified the manuscript with diligence and dedication to ensure truth and accuracy. And he names all these different people. And then it goes down here to, my admiration and gratitude go to the brave men and women in attorneys general and legal offices across the United States and in the halls of Congress who continue to search for the truth despite immense pressure not to. The information obtained through lawsuits and congressional initiatives is of paramount importance in determining exactly what led to the COVID pandemic and in preventing future censorship designed to conceal uncomfortable truths. I'm especially thankful for the efforts of Senator Ron Johnson, Senator Rand Paul, Congressman Jim Jordan, Congressman Thomas Massey, Congresswoman Kat McCormick, Congressman Brad Thomas, I'm sorry, Congressman Brad Winstrup, and Congresswoman Elise Stefanik. And he ends the acknowledgments with, I'm most grateful to my endlessly patient wife, Cheryl Hines, for her wisdom and strength, and for filling my days with love and laughter, and to my children, Bobby, Kick, Connor, Kira, Finn, Aiden, and Kat. Your love and support mean everything to me. The introduction starts, on my 7th birthday, January 17, 1961, 3 days before my uncle John F. Kennedy took his oath of office as United States President, his predecessor, President Dwight Eisenhower, appeared on national television to deliver his farewell address, which history increasingly regards as one of the most important and prophetic speeches in American history. And he quotes, "In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist. We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic processes." President Eisenhower took special care to include an expanded definition of his term, quote-unquote, military-industrial complex, that would include the top bureaucrats at the National Institutes of Health, the NIH. Eisenhower warned that the federal government's rising medical and scientific technocracy posed its own unique threats toward our democracy and freedom. And he quotes again, "In this revolution, scientific medical research has become central. It also becomes more formalized, complex, and costly. A steadily increasing share is conducted for, by, or at the direction of the federal government. Partly because of the huge costs involved, a government contract becomes virtually a substitute for intellectual curiosity. The prospect of domination of the nation's scholars by federal employment project allocations and the power of money is ever present and is gravely to be regarded. We must also be alert to the danger that public policy could itself become the captive of a scientific technological elite." Eisenhower ended his speech with an admonition that echoes now in rebuke as we emerge from the COVID era that trampled the core principles that had, for 240 years, maintained America as the global exemplar for democracy, constitutional government, and personal freedom. Here's another quote. "It is the task of statesmanship to mold, to balance, and to integrate these and other forces, new and old, within the principles of our democratic system, ever aiming toward the supreme goals of our free society." Eisenhower had recognized that America could not be both a democracy at home and an imperial power abroad. But to justify its existence, that cartel would drum up endless wars and emergencies that ensured its own wealth and power, while transforming America from an exemplary democracy into a national security state abroad and surveillance state at home. 7 years later, Dr. Anthony Fauci joined the National Institutes of Health, where he would never face combat There he began a 50-year sojourn that would put him at the summit of the nation's scientific and technological elite, an apex that he would use to militarize and monetize medical research and to consolidate the seamless alliance between government, science, the military, and intelligence agencies and private contractors in ways that would consummate President Eisenhower's worst nightmares about the threat this cartel posed to democracy. The cartel would reach its apogee in 2022. As the COVID pandemic commenced, the rising medical technocracy with Anthony Fauci at the helm took on all the menacing features President Eisenhower warned against. A powerful syndicate composed of government public health technocrats, a rapacious pharmaceutical industry, military and intelligence officials, and media and social media titans, appropriated awesome new powers to override constitutional and civil rights, censor information, suppress dissent, and engineer compliance with arbitrary dictates. These mandates culminated in mass submission to inoculation with risky, ineffective, shoddily tested, and unlicensed vaccines, and no one is liable for any damage they cause. Claiming unprecedented new powers as necessary to fight the war against germs, government and industry officials predictably abuse them, dealing blows to democracy with no discernible benefits to public health. Just as the CIA and military apparatus paradoxically profit from war, not peace, the medical cartel and its big pharma allies benefit from illness, not from health. Dr. Fauci and his cronies amplified this power through an orchestrated propaganda campaign bent on maintaining a level of public terror and germophobia. The eminent sociologist C. Wright Mills had anticipated Eisenhower's prescient warning 4 years earlier in his durable 1956 work, The Power Elite. Since World War II, America had been dominated by a permanent war economy. In the words of the maverick sociologist, this war establishment maintained its power and profits by creating a constant free-floating state of anxiety and animosity. For the first time in American history, men in authority are talking about an emergency without a foreseeable end, Mills wrote. Such men as these are crackpot realists. In the name of realism, they have constructed a paranoid reality all their own. 3 days after Eisenhower's farewell address on a frozen day in Washington, I sat under a clear sky in a frigid bleacher and watched my uncle, the incoming president, John F. Kennedy, take the oath of office. In his own inaugural in 1933, at the height of terrifying global depression, JFK's idol, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, had warned the nation that fear was the most potent tool of totalitarians. In Europe, despots from the left and right had wielded public fear of the same depression to transform Russia into a communist nation and Italy, Germany, and Spain into fascist totalitarian states. FDR had preserved both capitalism and democracy by a steady hand and confidence that kept fear at bay. My uncle's truncated administration would be a 3-year battle to secede from the reign of fear. His first bitter battle with his security apparatus occurred 3 months later during the failed Bay of Pigs invasion. Even as he took public blame for the calamity, he realized that his military brass and CIA pandrums had lied to him to trick him into allowing an invasion they knew would fail. Their plan was to trap a young president faced with this humiliating failure 3 months into a presidency into complying with the demands of his Joint Chiefs for a full U.S. invasion of Cuba, something that JFK had vowed never to do. I chronicled this struggle in my 2018 book, American Values. JFK recognized that the CIA's function was no longer securing U.S. interests. It had devolved into a rogue agency taking on the implicit ambition of U.S. multinational corporations, including oil companies and big agriculture. In this case, CIA's partners were Texaco, United Fruit Company, and the American Mafia. JFK recognized that the CIA's essential function was no longer national security, but providing the Pentagon and its military contractors a steady pipeline of continuous wars. In May 1961, now only 4 months into his presidency, my uncle stood inside the Oval Office telling his closest aide that he wanted to splinter the CIA in 1,000 pieces and scatter it to the winds. Between November 61 and February 1962, he fired the agency's 3 top officers, Alan Dulles, Charles Cabell, and Richard Bissell. American Values recounts my family's 60-year fistfight with that agency. Today, powerful pharmaceutical companies have joined Big Oil as the engine of the United States foreign policy, and the United States intelligence is still playing the same insidious role. This book explores that history. My 2021 book, The Real Anthony Fauci, Bill Gates, Big Pharma, and the Global War on Democracy and Public Health, also examines the rise of the biosecurity agenda and the remarkable alliance between Western public health regulators, military and intelligence agencies, and odd allies at the apex of the Chinese military in creating the bugs that cause pandemics and crafting responses that have advanced the agenda of a security and surveillance state. Their efforts hide the shadowy influences of these puppeteers who manipulated every feature of the pandemic. The coordination of these forces is nowhere more evident than in their orchestration of the cover-up of the origins of the COVID bug. The biosecurity agenda, pandemic preparedness and response, PPR, as it is euphemistically called, is the organizing principle of the post-Cold War military-industrial complex, or, more accurately, the military-medical-industrial complex. CIA and Pentagon planners played key roles in a series of over 12 tabletop simulations beginning in 1999 that served as a secret training exercises for tens of thousands of United States officials and foreign leaders in responding to global pandemics with a series of authoritarian countermeasures that function as a coup d'etat against democratic and constitutional rights. This syndicate includes the Pentagon and the intelligence apparatus, pharmaceutical companies, traditional media and social media platforms, and big data, which all have incestuous financial entanglements with each other that drive clear but perverse incentives to develop and periodically release infectious bioweapons and reap profits and power from the response. Anthony Fauci and billionaire Bill Gates became the visible faces of the pandemic response, but in this book I expose them as frontmen for a much larger enterprise of military medical industrial complex driven by elements within the CIA and Pentagon, which, even more than Anthony Fauci, contributed to creating the COVID-19 coronavirus in a Chinese lab, dictated the official countermeasures, managed and controlled the vaccine rollout, and managed the cover-up of the source. Hiding their role in the creation of the COVID-19 coronavirus is critical because its exposure would reveal the corruption and the players. It is their Achilles heel. Part 3, COVID-19 and the cover-up. And that is his introduction, and then it starts with chapter 1, which I will continue on the next episode. Wednesdays, if it's Wednesday, it's Wuhan. I think that's what I'll call this series. So next Wednesday, I will put out a new one. Cheers. I hope you enjoyed listening.